As Pastor Ben mentioned at the top of the service, Pastor John is out not feeling well, not COVID, but still not feeling well, and so I'm honored to be here. But the fact that we made sort of a late game decision means a couple of things for us this morning. Number one, the LifePoint outline in the seat in front of you is not going to be very helpful today. Maybe next week, but not this week. The second thing is because we believe that God is in control and moving in all things, I just have to believe that the sermon that was going to be preached today, if it's preached next week, there were people that needed it next week, which means that the word brought today is for us today. And so I hope you'll lean into that. The third thing, which is unique to this service, is if you're a student that was here Wednesday night, I guess the Lord just didn't feel like you paid attention well enough, because here we go with a couple of reworkings for Big Church. So we're in this series, All In. All In. What does it mean to be all in? And here's really my thesis statement that I want to build around from the Word this morning. God is trustworthy above all else to know the path to take in uncertain days. God is trustworthy above all else for us to know the path to take in uncertain days. I don't know about you, but these seem to be unsettling days for a variety of reasons. I think one of the reasons that we feel that it is so unsettling is that when we look around, we are having a hard time figuring out who to trust, what to trust. What is real? What is not? What is close to real? I mean, there's just so many things. And when I begin to think about something like this, a couple of thoughts come to mind. In our elders meeting, as we were talking about the spiritual direction of the church in 2021, Nat Robinson, one of your elders right over here on this side, made this statement. He said, in times of confusion, sometimes we just need to go back to the basics. Nat, I hope you remember that you said that, because it was really good, right? Sometimes we need to go back to the basics. And so this morning is honestly a back to the basics type of message. But I think in unsettling times, we need to be reminded of what is true. The second thing as I think about these unsettling days is people that know me well know that pretty much anything that happens, I can pretty much draw a direct line back to either Seinfeld or Batman. And so as I think about this, I think back to the 1989 Batman movie with Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson. Anybody remember that movie? It's kind of varied. It's sort of like classic 80s, right? Like Jack Nicholson's the Joker. He's in a parade with Prince. I mean, like, this is what's happening. And he's throwing money off to the side. And he makes his statement. Hubba, 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 money, money, money. Who do you trust? That's the question before us, isn't it? Who do we trust? There's so many things that we feel like we can't trust. In fact, this past week, our family had a trust-shaking moment in that. How many of you enjoyed the snow last weekend and built some snowmen or did anything out there? How many of you were just like, it was great, took a picture, but spent my time inside? That was more my mode. But, you know, my two little girls and my wife Jennifer, they got out there and they built really a whole family. It's like a family reunion of snowmen out in the front yard. There were so many of them. They just got excited about it. And so on Monday night, we had, you know, taken all the pictures, that kind of stuff, and everybody's in bed. I'm getting ready to go to bed. I just thought, I just want to take one last peek out there at the little family of snowmen. And to my horror, when I opened the blinds, there were snowmen decapitated. And at first I thought to myself, yeah, there's the crime scene. The yellow tape hadn't gone up yet. But when I looked out there, I thought to myself, surely the head just fell off, melted. I mean, that happens to snowmen. But then I saw Frosty's head split wide open in the middle of our street. And I thought, man, the kids, all that kind of stuff. So I ran outside. I picked up the pieces of Humpty Dumpty, the snowman, and brought it back and tried to stage the crime scene. Like, if it fell, which way would it go? And then I just threw a scarf on it and thought, maybe this is what can happen, and went to bed. The next morning, woke up, tried to give Jennifer the heads up because I knew that would be the main topic of the house that morning for our family. And so I was surprised at how much it rocked Jennifer as well, because eventually I had to pull myself away and left her standing there looking out the window, wrapped up in a Snuggie, contemplating the depravity of man as she looked out on that scene, right? We can't even trust our neighbors. There's a hotline if you have any tips. No. Like, seriously, when I drove through the neighborhood, there were a lot of headless snowmen. There was a serial snowman decapitator out there, right? But here's the thing. I mean, I joke about that a little bit, but like, you can't even build a snowman without trusting your neighbors aren't going to come and smash their head in the street. Here's the deal. In these unsettling times, in a climate in which we're wondering, who do you trust? I got good news for us this morning in that the Word gives us a clear picture in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let me read it one more time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. Think about Him in all your ways, and He will guide you on the right path. As we think about being all in, again, this is back to the basics. I'm asking you this morning to evaluate, are you all in with your heart in trusting God? I mean, did you hear it there? It said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, one thing real quickly, the word heart used by the Hebrews carries a little bit more punch, packing a little bit more heat than our word for the heart or how we might use it in 2021. Typically, if I said something like, I took that to heart, it's like I had some emotions about something that I've heard. In the Hebrew, when they use the word heart, it is a broader capacity. It is involving the seat of our emotions. It involves our intellect. It involves our convictions. It involves our identity. It's essentially the writer of Proverbs saying, trust in the Lord with everything you are. Trust in the Lord with your intellect. Trust in the Lord with all your convictions. Trust in the Lord with all your identity. And then he makes a contrast. And do not lean on your own understanding. Essentially, you could even, you know, maybe contemporize it again. Do not lean on your worldly understanding. Do not rely on your own personal experience. Do not rely on perceived circumstances. Instead, trust in the Lord with all you are, all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all things think of Him, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path certain. At least for me, I, in these uncertain days, want to know that the thing or the person that I have my trust in is going to lead me on right paths. And that's what we're going to look at. So with the time we have remaining, I want to give you three reasons you can go all in with your heart, your identity, your convictions, your intellect, your emotions with God. The first one is this. We can go all in because God alone has the proper perspective. He alone has the right perspective. Isaiah 55 reminds us His ways are not our ways. They are higher than our ways. He has the broader, bigger, perfect perspective. In Job, you remember this guy. Man, talk about a tough, tough season of life. He is, in one day, loses all of his children, all of his fortune, all of his stability. He then inhabits in his body a disease that requires like these open sores and boils and just a lot of gross stuff. I'm not going to show you a picture of that. But then his one person, like his one support system, his wife says to him, just curse God and die. You don't see that on the Hallmark anniversary card too often, right? Then he has 3 to 4 friends come and they look at his situation like, Job, what did you do to sin against God? He's like, guys, I didn't sin. This is not a result of sin. And then Job, in his groanings, calls out to God looking for answers. And instead of God giving Job, like, well, I had this meeting with the enemy, and this is kind of what's going on. You're going to be a picture of faith and for many, many years. That's not what he says. He said, Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Where were you when I cast the stars into the sky? What God is saying is this, Job, I just need you to trust me that I've got the bigger picture in mind. See, Todd Core is so limited in my ability to know things, to see things, to understand things. I'm limited by the day that I am in. I don't know the future. My memory gets foggy on the past. I'm limited in my physical presence in that I can't be everywhere at once, knowing how God is moving all over the world at one time. I can only sort of get a glimpse of what he's doing with me. Right? Like, this is a big problem. And so what I want to do to sort of illustrate this is I've got this little video. And if you were there Wednesday, it's new pictures. At least you got that. But it is these little pictures, and it's zoomed in real close. And then after 7 seconds, it zooms out. And then after seven seconds, it gives you the full picture. Does that make sense? So what I'd like for you to do, just create a little energy in the room today, is as those are up there, if you want to just kind of throw out your guesses of what you think it might be, that would be good. If you're like, this is church, I don't say anything. I understand that too. But let's just, for the moment, for the sake of the illustration of us being the very zoomed in photo and God being the fuller picture, to just drive that in, let's watch this video. Some of you parents will have to explain that one to your kids later. I love the oohs and ahs once it's revealed. Ah, I should have said something out loud. Last one. There you go. Anybody like get all of them on the first picture? Joel, because he was in the last service, right? Like, here's the deal. Like, hopefully that re-emphasized the fact that having a zoomed-in perspective does not give us the totality to understand what's going on until we get a zoomed-out perspective. I mean, this might blow your mind a little bit on a Sunday afternoon, but, like, think about this. God created time, so he himself is outside of time so that he sees the beginning, the end, and actually the fact that there's he just exists outside of time. Nowhere else can you put your trust where it has that kind of perspective. For me, I don't know my future. I don't remember my past that well. I don't know what's happening in other parts of the world. I mean, God knows what's happening in Lufkin simultaneously with how his plan is moving in Europe, in Africa. He knows what the penguins are doing on Antarctica. Like, he sees it all. To me, that is a key reason for confidence to go all in, to trust God with all our heart. My perspective is too limited to trust my own understanding. The second thing I would say for why we can go all in, not only does he alone have the perspective, but number two, our faith is in a person, not our understanding of circumstances. Our faith is in a person, not our understanding of circumstances. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. We know from the further revelation of Scripture in the New Testament, we trust Jesus Christ and His work. That is our trust. It is not in circumstances. Which begs the question, what is faith? What is faith? To say that I trust Christ, I trust this person, I have faith in the person of Christ. Well, let me just define it first by what it's not. Faith is not the force, Star Wars reference, right? Faith is not the force. Now, let's be honest. Probably the majority of us in here at some point or other have had a remote control just out of reach, a pen across the room, a coffee mug on the other side of the table, and we just for a second thought to ourselves, just to see if we could get that remote, if we could get that pen, just to see, just for once and for all, is the force real? Look, faith is not the force. Why? Because the agent using the force in the Star Wars fictional universe, by the way, is their goal is to bend the world to their will. Faith is asking the Father to bend our will to His. It's a big difference. Faith is not the force. The force is seeking to bend the world to our will. Faith is asking God to bend our will to His, regardless of the circumstances. See, it's in a person. It's kind of like Peter. I mean, like, he doesn't get enough credit. He actually walked on water. When he was focused on the person, Jesus, he walked on water. But as soon as his gaze went from the person to the circumstances, he sank. Some of us in this room, is it possible that you feel like your faith is sinking because you've been looking at circumstances and not the person our faith is in? This is critical. I mean, let me just put it this way. Look, one of the things that makes us unsettled right now is all the things happening in our country, right? Like, that's just sort of the elephant in the room. This is not me being political because I'm not a political person, but let me just throw some hypotheticals out there. Number one, if God so chooses to move our country back into a direction which the government supports the freedom of religion and comes back to what we might consider to be a Christian nation, our faith is not in those circumstances being true. It's in Christ. On the flip side, if God chooses to answer the prayer of His people calling for the Americans to turn their heart back to Him, what if He chooses to turn it into the way that He answers it is through suffering by persecution of the government? Our faith is not in those circumstances. It's still in the person, Jesus. It doesn't matter our circumstances. They will ebb and flow. Let's move out of the realm of politics. If you've got a healthy bill of health or you just got a terminal diagnosis, your faith is in the person, Jesus Christ, not the circumstances. If your bank account is empty or if it is flush with cash, your faith is not in those things. It is in the person of Jesus. See, remember, this is back to the basics. We often will sometimes misquote a scripture. We've heard it misquoted from the book of Philippians. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Somehow this has gotten tagged into sports a lot. And apparently the only team with enough faith to do all things in Christ is my hated rival, the Alabama Crimson Tide. They seem to be the only ones with enough faith to have Christ strengthen them to win football games. Why will my team not have enough faith next year? I guess there's just no Christians on any other teams. Look, we have so warped that. But if you go back and look at the context in which Paul said that, he said this, there have been times where I have had plenty and there are times where I've had nothing, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Essentially, he's saying, the strength I draw doesn't come from those circumstances. It came from knowing Christ. It comes in trusting him. So what is faith? You could say it this way. Faith is trust in Jesus that shapes the foundation of our life's direction. Trusting Jesus that what he said is true, that he is who he said he is, and that my life, if that is true, has to change to be in line with that truth. We can no longer say, I believe in my heart, just meaning emotionally, I believe in Jesus, and be disconnected from our identity, our convictions, our actions, our words. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is to say, all in with trusting Christ and the work that he has done for us. The third thing, not only is it because he alone has a perspective, and not only can we go all in because we have faith in a person, not circumstances, but number three, his promises are certain. Where else can you go where you will have 100% certainty of someone saying something and following through? I consider myself to be a good dad. And yet there have been times where I have told my kids, we will do that tomorrow, we will get to that next weekend. And not out of evil intent, not seeking to be deceitful, just either forgetfulness or something came up, and I did not follow through. And if we're honest, every single one of us have made promises or given our word to something that we did not follow through, not for evil intention, but because we are limited and incapable of following through. But God is faithful, and what he has promised will come to pass. We sang about it earlier. In fact, here is an important warning actually to us. We need to make sure that the promises we cling to are from the word and are actually what he promised. Because it is easy to get confused with things that we hope that he has promised, we wish or heard, but have not verified that he has himself promised. There are some people, maybe you're here this morning and you feel like you don't understand, your faith is up and down because you understood that when you put your life in Christ's hands that you would never go through another storm. God never promised that. And if you feel like, why is this happening? I thought I was a believer. I thought, you know, he looked out. Look, I just want you to understand, he never promised that. But what he did promise is that in the midst of a storm, he would provide the right amount of mercy, grace, strength, peace, love, his presence, a purpose, knowing that it is making you more into the image of his son in godliness. These are things he promised. He never promised we would avoid a storm, but that he would see us through a storm. See, God's promises are actually much richer than some of the things we pretend or would like to believe that he has promised that are not actually found in Scripture. Here's some other ones. You're human like me. We have a sin problem. I sin against God. I fail him. But here is what the word says as a promise. If I confess my sin, he is faithful to cleanse me of all of my unrighteousness. He promises that when I exit this earth, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. These are real promises we can hold on to. My question this morning is, are you all in? Are you trusting him with your whole heart, your whole intellect, your whole convictions, your whole identity? Is it dependent on circumstances? Are you holding him to promises he actually never made? He is so trustworthy. At the end of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, he says this, right? Like, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. What I've tried to do this morning is give you at least three as the as Matt Redman said, 10,000 reasons I could, but nobody would sit here that long, right? Like, three reasons why God is trustworthy, that he is worthy above all else to help you know what path to take, because at the end of verse 6, he will make your paths straight. He will lead you on the right path. I've got a picture of a meme, if you will, of old school GPS. Some of you remember these days. That was a possibility back when GPS first came out, if you remember. Back before it was on every cell phone, it came standard in every new car, right? Like, we had a GPS system. It was just a little machine. And we would punch it in, but Jennifer and I were too poor to pay for the updated maps. So we were riding around blind. A couple years later, I mean, we could end up in the field of Iowa. I mean, you just never knew what could happen with that thing. Some of you remember that. Now, oh my goodness, now, this past Christmas, we went from Lufkin to Huntington, West Virginia to visit with family for Christmas, and I had zero concern that we would be able to get there. Why? Because I could punch it in. All of a sudden, it told me, hey, this is where the police are scanning for speed traps. Right? Some of you are like, yeah, I've used that. It told me, like, where there were accidents or slowdowns. If there was a better route because of an accident, it would, hey, do you want to take this route? Right? Like, it was so good and precise that it told me how many miles I needed to travel and about what time I would get there. It also had this little function. Whenever we would turn off the route to go to the restroom or to get gas or get something to eat, it would immediately pipe up, make a U-turn right here. Turn left. Why are you not turning left, right? Like, it just, you feel like the lady just wants to strangle us sometimes. But man, GPS will get you where you need to go. Can I ask you this? Some of us are operating with a faith that is not all the way in. We're leaning on our own understanding. And I promise you, you've got an outdated GPS. Who knows where you're going to end up? The right path? Probably not. But those of us who put faith in Jesus, who are all in, I mean, it is a clear destination, right? One of his promises that God made, I will go and prepare a place for you. I'll go and prepare a place for you and bring you there. The disciples kind of questioned him about that. And he's like, guys, if it were not true, I wouldn't be saying it. It's true. Take it to the bank. Our life, like Sunday when you went out last week and the snow and you saw your breath and then it disappeared real quick. Scripture describes our life as that little breath that disappears while we're on this earth. But what he has promised, I mean, because that could feel futile and vain and like, what's the point? But he's like, here's the promise. That little vapor is actually a part of eternity. And I've prepared a place for my kids. They're going to be with me forever. You got no money in your bank account right now? Live in the joy of knowing you are the son or daughter of the King. And you may never have more than $100 or two nickels to rub together on this earth, but you're going to be living with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for all eternity. Peter described it as the present suffering that you and I have is nothing compared to the glory set before us. Where is your faith? Where is the GPS? Because here's the deal. The Holy Spirit, here's one of his jobs. When you and I veer off the right path, Holy Spirit's like, turn around, U-turn, stop that. Right? Like, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I'm suggesting. I'm going to invite actually Joel and his team. We're going to sing one of the choruses because I just feel like we need to proclaim his faithfulness one more time before we leave this morning. If you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, you've never sought his forgiveness, you have not trusted in the work of the cross and the resurrection, which was conquering sin, death, and hell, would you do that today? There'll be some pastors out by the Next Step desk. Don't delay. But if you are already a believer, this is what I encourage you to do. One, let's sing this with all our being and acknowledge his faithfulness. But two, this week, ask him to examine your heart and say, God, I want to be all in. I want to trust you with all my heart. But Father, if I have been divided, if I've been distracted by circumstances, if I have been unsure of the promises of God, repent and let's walk with full trust, not leaning on our own understanding, in everything we do this week, acknowledging him. And in uncertain days, our path will be straight. Let me pray. We'll take our offering at the door, and then the team is going to lead us. And I pray that you will sing with gusto, with energy, and with faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you are trustworthy above all things. Father, may we have a faith that is sinking due to circumstances. Help us to be reminded of the trust we have in Christ who never lets us down. Thank you for the offering. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.